Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 25. I read for you again these words. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved lambs of the Good Shepherd, the end is near. Christ is coming, and there is judgment. That's the theme of the last Sunday of the church year. Jesus was telling His disciples about the kingdom of God, and He made it quite clear that on that day, there will be a separation. Not everybody will be seated at the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom. Some will be in, some will be out. Five wise or prudent virgins who had oil for their lamps will be in. Five foolish virgins who had not brought oil will be outside when the door is shut. Those who faithfully utilize their master's goods for His purposes here, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. He who was unfaithful, he who did not rightly know his master, will be cast into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And today, we hear about the separation that will take place when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead, as He describes the separation of the sheep from the goats. Now, when we hear about this separation, the sheep from the goats, we might misunderstand it because it does mention works. Yet, keep in mind that the separation of the sheep and the goats takes place before any mention is made of what they did or didn't do. They are separated simply because they are either sheep or goats. The sheep, as we know, because Jesus tells us, hear His voice and follow Him. The goats, not so much. But let's get back to the beginning of the text. Our Lord will come again in His glory, just as He promised. He will sit on His glorious throne, the throne He's had from eternity, the throne He left to become one of us, to live in our life of flesh and blood, to suffer, die, and rise again, to restore us to life with God. The throne He took up once again when He ascended to sit at His Father's right hand. When our Lord comes again, we will get to see how all things have been renewed and restored. We will live in paradise restored as we get to see and live something better than the Garden of Eden. When our Lord comes in His glory, He will gather the nations and separate the people. Some on His right and others on His left. Then He will talk to both groups, and the conversation will sound similar both times. And what will He talk about with both groups? about feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and going to the prisoners. Some will be commended for doing such things. Others will be condemned for not doing them. But the real kicker comes when Jesus identifies himself with those who needed the help. He will say, "You fed me. You gave me drink. You welcomed me. You clothed me. You visited and came to me." And both groups will say, "When, Lord? We didn't know we did or did not do these things to you. How did we do these things to you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Yes, Jesus says, "You did it to me." And likewise, those of the goats on his left will be told, "You did not do it to me." And these words make all the difference between the sheep and the goats. All the difference between eternal reward and eternal punishment. "Yes, you did it to me." Actually, these words make all the difference even now. You see, the church does not give us these end times Sundays to scare us to death or to make us question our Lord or his gift of life and salvation. No, these Sundays with readings about the last day are designed to give comfort and hope. They're designed to spur us on to keep living in holiness and godliness all the way to the end. We even pray, "Oh Lord, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you forever hereafter." And so St. Peter tells us not to doubt our Lord's promise that he will come. Don't scoff that he judged the world in the global flood of Noah's day. Don't think that our Lord is playing with your mind when he promises judgment and destruction for the ungodly, or a new heavens and new earth for the righteous. Don't fear. Don't cower, but also don't live like bumps on the log of this fallen world. Don't live self-centeredly like the unbelieving people around you. Indeed, as St. Peter says, focus on what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. He also says this, "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace." But that's our big dilemma, right? When we look in the mirror and examine our lives and our hearts, we know that we are not without spot or blemish. We are not at peace. Lives of holiness and godliness seem so far away and so foreign. We know that if King Jesus were to talk to us right now, the conversation would go something like this. "When you got angry with your spouse or your child, your brother or sister, you did it to me." when you spoke that unkind word to your neighbor or about your neighbor, you spoke it to and about me. When you did not welcome that visitor at church, you did not welcome me. When you failed to help the hungry, homeless person, you failed to help me. When you paid little attention to the sermon, the liturgy, the hymns, and the supper, you paid little attention to me. When you did not support your church with your time, your labors, and your money, you did not support me. Do I need to go on? This, dear friends, is why the Lord seems slow in coming. Actually, He's not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Your Lord Jesus desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And yes, that includes you and me. You see, King Jesus has indeed taken His glorious throne on the cross. As He hung there, bleeding, suffering, and dying, He gathered all nations to Himself and separated people one from another. In His gory suffering, our King of Glory shows you how blessed you are by His Father. On the cross, He reveals your true inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And what is that inheritance and kingdom? It's His grace, His lavish love, His fabulous forgiveness. That's what makes the difference between the sheep and the goats. That's what makes the difference between eternal life and eternal death and punishment. That's also how this is not a works righteous passage. The sheep, the righteous, the believers, the Christians, inherit only what is given to them as a gift. Jesus commends them only for what He's already given them in His dying and rising. You see, we sheep need what our shepherd king has to offer. We are hungry and thirsty for God, and He feeds us on His body and gives us to drink from His blood. We are estranged from God, and He welcomes us back to life with Him. We are the naked ones, exposed for the sinners we are, and He clothes us with the garments of holiness in our baptism. We are sick in our sin, and He visits us to forgive and heal us. We are imprisoned by death, and He comes to us and sets us free from that prison. That's the life of holiness and godliness that our Lord gives us as a precious and wonderful gift. So now you and I get to go about all of life living the inheritance that we have already received. We simply live as the sheep He has made us to be by doing sheeply things. We get to live that renewed, restored life of Jesus with everyone around us. Now, the Holy Spirit stirs us up to holiness of living here as we eagerly await dwelling with our Lord forever hereafter. Now, a conversation with our Lord and King might sound something like this. Jesus might say, "When you help those in need, you do it to me. When you visit the sick, the shut-in, and the imprisoned, you do it to me. When you love one another, when you hold your tongue from complaining and gossip, when you keep your anger in check, when you live for one another to serve one another, you do it to me. Oh, don't worry, Jesus says, if you don't consciously think that you're doing it to me, I know you're plenty busy serving and loving your neighbor. That's how I created you and recreated you to live and love. In fact, when you love as I have loved you, when you live for others as I have lived for you, you are already living in my eternal life. When I come again in glory, when I sit on my glorious throne, we will get to live this life together, more fully, more gloriously, and for all eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.